Okay. Welcome. This is Jazz, Just the Way We Like It. My name is Alfonso Severos, and this is my weekly jazz podcast, recorded live at Brick Arts in downtown Brooklyn, the People's Republic of Brooklyn. We play those classic jazz songs of the 1950s, the 1960s, the 1970s. And every now and then, we play some of the modern stuff. We discuss politics and social issues. We play songs I listened to as a young man growing up right here in Brooklyn. And here I am now playing them for your pleasure. And also to introduce to a younger generation that fabulous art form known as jazz. I'm in the studio, as always, with my co-host, and good friend for, 60 plus years. Not to give my age away, but it is what it is. Lawrence Williams, good buddy.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good.
Good. What's,
it looks like spring finally arrived.
Yeah, it looks that way. We got a little rain, but it's okay. Good for the flowers, good for the earth.
Yeah, man. I just couldn't wait for some spring weather. I settle for the 50s, brother.
Yep.
I'm looking forward for the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah, we actually, one day this week, we had a 72 one day this week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we're close by.
So I guess we just need some consistency.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Wow. Larry, podcast number 160.
All right.
Yeah, folks, and we're going to do, last podcast, man, we took you out there, man. We played some, free expression jazz with Cecil Taylor and Sun Ra. And now this episode, we're going to go in the opposite direction and go back to play some fabulous sax players and jazz musicians and singers from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, who pre-Charlie Parker time. You know, if they're pre-Charlie Parker, they're pre-John Coltrane, they're pre-all that. And the music was much more mellow. So we're going to be much more mellow today. All right. But before we get to the music, let's talk about it, man. Let's talk about something else, man. Man, the earth shook, had a little earthquake, with an epicenter in New Jersey. Was it 4.2, Larry?
Yeah, it was 4. I think they said it was 4.7, but I was home, and I hear this noise, and the noise goes on for about 30 seconds or maybe close to a minute.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was, and nothing happened in terms of my building, but I go out and I'm taking a bus to my computer class, and my daughter calls me on the phone and says, "Dad, did you know that we had a earthquake?" I said, "No, I didn't even know. I just heard that noise for however long it was, and it was different. It was like a train, but it wasn't a train. It was like." It was just a different noise that I wasn't used to hearing that time in the morning in the back of my building, but I didn't feel it this time.
My building shook a little.
Yeah, it did.
It did shake, and the old women in my building were screaming. And they ran in the hallways and ran out. They were screaming, "Earthquake! Earthquake!"
They knew what it was.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, because Yeah, it affected the whole metropolitan area and as far south as Maryland, because my brother John felt it in Baltimore. Wow. And all the way upstate, my sister Veronica, her house shook.
Wow.
So it was a little shaking, you know. And what people don't realize is that, you know, New York City and the metropolitan area is under quite a few small,
faults?
Faults, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I think there's a building code that requires the building to shift a little, to be built in a way in which it can shift a little because of the possibilities of earthquakes.
I always thought that New York City was earthquake proof.
No.
But I found out as a kid, I always thought that way. But I found out later that is not the case.
You should have been like me, man, to say, I ain't taking no physics. I'm taking earth science in high school. And I took earth science in high school. And the only thing I learned is that, you know, there's some faults under New York. I did not forget that.
Yeah. But we don't get as many, or maybe we're getting many quakes as they are getting out in the West. Or maybe they're not as severe.
It's much, the 4.6 or 4.5, whatever it was. It's nowhere near the stuff. But when I was living in the West Coast in the early 70s in San Francisco, we used to get earthquakes all the time in that range and less, you know, and in 2 point something or 3 point something. And people paid it no mind. The stuff shook. I mean, when I first got it, I freaked out. But then after a while, you kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? But, you know, there was, going back to New York City, in this recent earthquake, there was like 50 aftershocks.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
All over. And, you know, you got to remember the area was so wide. It went from upstate New York all the way down to Maryland. And these were small aftershocks.
Yeah, I was curious as to whether or not there would have been some aftershocks.
Yeah, there was like one or two in certain sections of New York City that was felt.
Okay.
But for the most part, the city didn't feel any aftershocks.
But every time there is an earthquake, there has to be an aftershock that comes with it.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the nature of the planet that we live on. And people got to remember, man, that earthquake that destroyed the entire city of San Francisco at one point, practically the entire city. Is it possible to get like a 7.5 earthquake in New York City? Highly unlikely, yet possible.
Right.
You know. And with these massive structures that they're building in terms of height, especially Brooklyn, Manhattan's already there. I don't know what it'll do. I don't know how, you know, if those structures will hold up or not. You know, you look at downtown Brooklyn where we're at now. My God, in the last 10 years, they must have put up 20 buildings over 40 stories.
Yeah. That is unbelievable. When I look at Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn at least, I don't think that they've extended it much further than downtown Brooklyn in terms of the tall buildings. I mean, there's a lot of building going on in the city, period, but buildings, what I mean by tall buildings, anything that's over 30 stories high.
No.
It's mainly in the downtown Brooklyn area that's going on.
But the new buildings that may go up to, you know, 10 floors and 12 floors, 14, that's all over. I was in Flatbush. I told you, a vegan Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Man, a great place, man. Mainly takeout on Flatbush Avenue by Lenox Road. Mm-hmm. And I used to live over in that area on Chester Court or Flatbush. But, man, there was all these new buildings.
Yeah, I used to live on Church Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and Rogers. And then before that, when I first got married, we moved from Williamsburg to Erasmus Street. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's where that's where our first really serious apartment was on Rasmus Street, mm-hmm. which is like one block off of church.
Oh yeah, Brooklyn is changing all across Brooklyn. There's changes, man. Well, folks, let's hope we don't have to talk about any more new earthquakes, but there's been other kinds of earthquakes going on, of the insane type, and that's what's recently happened in the state of Arizona, where the Arizona Supreme Court made a ruling to ban all abortions, no matter if there was a rape involved, no matter who the people involved in it were. And that was based on a 1864 law. These were judges that were appointed by Republicans. They got to be crazy. Even though the attorney general said that they will not prosecute anybody for violating that ruling, and that ruling called for people to be prosecuted, by the way. Just the idea of doing that is insane. This ruling was put in place before Arizona was even a state.
Wow.
Before women had the right to vote. Before slaves were free. You know, they banned all kinds of abortion. And now they go 100-some-odd years later and say, hey, we got to abide by it again. Larry?
Yeah, that's really crazy to me. I think that the fact that how do you use a law that's over 100 years old in today's society? And the bad part about it is that the Republican majority will not allow for that law to be taken off the books. They won't allow for it to be taken off the books.
No.
Now, that's, to me, is madness. That mm-hmm. that makes no sense at all. I mean, they acknowledge that a lot of the Republicans in that state acknowledge that it's something that shouldn't be, but then they're not willing to do anything about it. So to me, the Republican Party is, you know, it's so conservative at this point that it really wants to go back to slavery time, I think. If they could do it, they would do it. I mean, if you're not going to take off something on the books that goes back to 1864, which is prior to Lincoln abolishing slavery, I don't know. I don't know. It just shows me the mentality.
Yeah. I mean, it's this hot issue of abortion, you know. I have a difficult time processing how a person can be pro-life in the issue of abortion and pro-death penalty. That seems like two contradictions existing at the same time.
Yeah,
you know, one you want this fetus, not even a fetus, not when it's an embryo or when it's a zygote. To live, you know, even before it developed into a human being. And because it's sacred, they say, yet we'll take life if someone does something that, for whatever reason, is against the law. It's crazy, you know. And nature doesn't preserve necessarily life as we know it. Nature is extremely wasteful. Just to give you an example, a newborn girl is born with 1 to 2 million eggs. Each egg has a 50% chance of developing into a person. 1 to 2 million. Each one a unique 50% chance to develop into a unique individual. A male is born with millions of sperm in one ejaculation They estimate anywhere from 10 to 20 million sperms are ejaculated, which each sperm, the characteristics develop into a unique individual. So the odds of you being here is extreme. But all those other possibilities of developing into a person, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. All right? So nature, in some ways, is extremely wasteful. Because at that point, it's not even talking about a person. You know, even after conception, it's not recognizable as a person until maybe the last week of the embryonic or first week of the fetal stage. And even at that point, you can't even tell the difference between an embryo that's a human and other primates. And we have no idea where consciousness arises. That awareness of yourself, that you exist, and the awareness of your environment, that's much later in the fetal stage. So I think maybe we have to look at it in terms of the science of it, but people look at it in terms of the religion, but they keep the contradiction on the death penalty. Hey, what can I say, Larry?
Yeah. It's wild. It is really wild.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they have no problem espousing those type of beliefs that they believe in life for that fetus, mm-hmm. but they will take the life of someone who's committed something that they consider heinous.
And you know, they talk about, you know, all these early weeks. They have no idea, man. That you know, after 2 months, which is 8 or 9 weeks, it's only about an inch long. And the truth of the matter is that in the early stages, if development goes awkward, nature will abort. They call it spontaneous abortion. And in many cases, nature aborts without the person even knowing they ever got pregnant.
Right.
So it's a process that nature uses. But you know, it's based on belief systems, and one thing is difficult to argue is people's beliefs. Like, you know, I very much support the Palestinians in their right to exist, their right to their land. And also, you know, Israel has a right, but I don't support what they're doing to the Palestinians. But how could the Palestinians people deal with all that death and destruction? Based on their belief. They call the people who died martyrs. So for them, it's a religious thing that's going to occur.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes the destruction, as painful as it may be, in some ways less painful.
Yeah.
So this belief systems, man, you know, hey, I know I'm getting sidetracked, bro. I think I got to get it back to some jazz. Yeah. Before we get to the jazz, folks, you know, we always play a song that deals with a social issue, social justice, a song or a poem. And this being April, National Poetry Month, we're going to do a poem. And let's see. I just got rid of the poem again, Larry. Where do I go, those three dots?
Yeah, go to the hamburger.
And I got to look for what?
History? History, yep. Click on history.
Okay, I got it.
Anyone with $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans may qualify for help from National Debt Relief. Minimum payments.
We are going to play a little piece here. I'm going to do a poem to address the issue of our concern about social justice. And we're going to do a poem that's actually one of my poems. So I usually don't read my poetry, but I'm going to read this. And the background music is Donald Burry, Cristo Redento. And the name of this poem is called I Have Seen. Trying to get it to play, Larry. I have seen the minds of children and grandchildren of my generation lose themselves in a state of functional madness with obsessive wants and delusional needs as they are shaped and reshaped by the informational media that manipulates both soul and consciousness. I have seen the substance of a people morph into nothingness as the young discard the bloody historical roots of the hated N-word, while they internalize the delusion of a self-made definition, thus rendering it as meaningless as yesterday, all in the pursuit of now, as the religion of the day, instant this or that, satisfaction now. I've seen the dreams of a people transform into the greed of individual that dissolves group harmony, pulling out our roots as blues and jazz died and nobody cried. I've seen yesterday's pain and today's despair, and I fear the sight of tomorrow.
Good, Al. That's really good. Thank you.
That's Donald Byrd on trumpet, Donald's Byrd album, Cristo Redento, Christ the Redeemer, with many folks may not realize, but that's Herbie Hancock on the piano. And the poem was a poem I wrote about 10 years ago, maybe a little longer, called I Have Seen. Okay, a little social justice piece, folks. And let's get to the jazz that we're gonna play today. Today we're featuring Ben Webster, Lester Young, and Billie Holiday, three giants of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. And Ben Webster, man, was one of the top sax players of his time. He was born in 1909, Kansas City, Missouri. And most, they got Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas. I've never been to Kansas City, Missouri, but I've been to Kansas City, Kansas. They used to have some good barbecue in Kansas City, Kansas, man. Yes. There was a place, this was years ago, called Gates. And that was known for its barbecue, man. Well, anyway, Ben Webster started out playing the violin and the piano, and eventually moved on to sax, okay? And he played a lot. He collaborated with a lot of different folks. He eventually moved to Europe in 1964. He moved to Copenhagen, Denmark. Now, Copenhagen, at that time you had Ben Webster living there. You had Dexter Gordon living there. You had Thad Jones living there. And a whole bunch of other jazz musicians. And that city grew. And they have the Copenhagen Jazz Festival every summer since 1979. I would love to go to that, Larry. And they have like over 250,000 people.
Wow.
It's one of the largest jazz festivals, or the largest jazz festival in the world. Of they have like 1,000, over 1,000 different concerts going on. And because of this, and because of the way they respect and treat jazz and jazz musicians, don't you know, in Copenhagen and Denmark, if you're a jazz musician and, you meet the criteria, been playing long enough and you're getting old, they give you a pension. So Copenhagen is considered the jazz capital of the world.
Mm.
Now, that's a damn shame.
Yeah, that's it.
Because that should be on this side of the Atlantic.
Yes.
I mean, and if you go during the time of the festival, all the clubs and cafes and concert halls is playing jazz, folks. Uh-huh. So Ben Webster moved there and lived there. Moved there in 1964, and he spent the last 9 years, because he died 9 years later, in Copenhagen. Here's a piece by Ben Webster, man. And
Ray never came back.
No. Here's a piece. You know the song, Over the Rainbow, Ben Webster. Okay, I did it again. I crossed it out. Larry, I keep doing this, man. I keep doing this. Let me find it again. What can I tell you, brother? I must be age catching up to you. All right.
When migraine strikes.
So I So I got to find the song, folks. We're going to play Ben Webster, Over the Rainbow. And it's Ben Webster on sax, Hank Jones, Richard Davis, and Ozzie Johnson is on drums, Richard Davis is on bass, and I believe Hank Jones is on the piano. So here's Ben Webster, Over the Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, sweet.
That's Ben Webster. So you Webster think you know Wicks. Do you really?
Okay, sorry about that, folks. That's Ben Webster, Over the Rainbow, man. What a piece.
Man, it's so sweet.
Yeah, you record that was done in, this version of it was done in 1964.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked the, I mean, it's so clear. His, that sax is so clear.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was the 30s, 40s, and 50s. You had Ben Webster. You had Coleman Hawkins, and you had Lester Young.
Yeah, and they
were like, man, they set the bar. And we're going to play two of them today at least, some stuff by Ben Webster and some stuff by Lester Young. We'll get to Coleman Hawkins at another time. But it was sweet sax, man. And like I said, he moved to Copenhagen. And going back to talk about Copenhagen and the Copenhagen Jazz Festival, that's a 10-day event. 10 days.
Wow.
Man, maybe one day you might get to Copenhagen. And,
when you were in Europe, did you ever get a chance to go into Copenhagen?
No, I didn't go to Denmark. I didn't go north.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The furthest north I went was England, and that was it. But I didn't go to the Scandinavian countries. Oh, the only one I was in was Amsterdam, Holland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then jazz was big there, man. This was, you know, early 70s. Jazz was real big. I remember going into a bar, and the jukebox only had Sonny Rollins. Music from Sonny Rollins. That was the only thing on the only artist on the jukebox.
Wow. That's something else.
Okay, man. You know, we are playing some of the greats of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, man. And it's kind of on a little bit on the mellow side, folks. So we're taking it nice and easy today. And here's another piece by Ben Webster. And it's a famous piece. You know this, man. What, man? Stardust. That's Ben Webster and his version of Stardust, man. Very mellow, very peaceful, wow. Larry.
It's just, whew.
Yeah, he had his style, man. He had his style. Definitely, you know, reflecting the 40s and the early 50s.
Yeah, I could hear it very strong.
Yeah, and he stayed within a range with the mellow pieces that he played.
Yeah.
Now, here's one more last song, folks, we're going to do with Ben Webster. Larry, me and you can relate to this title because it's called Old Folks. Yeah. So, yeah, I can laugh about it, folks. I'm old. Ain't no doubt about it. So Larry can't say nothing. He's the same age as me. So
yeah, I can't say anything because I don't consider myself old. I consider myself getting old, but not old yet.
Okay, you can't tell that to that arthritis. here's a folks a little bit more. I think this is a little bit more up tempo called Old Folks, and I think he spreads his wings a little bit more in this piece. And I think he has, this is the one with Oscar Peterson. Mm. So sit back and enjoy.
Thank you.
Wow, wow. That's Oscar Peterson on a piece called Old Folks. No, not Oscar Peterson. What am I saying? Oh, no, that was
Ben Webster.
Ben Webster. Oscar Peterson was not on that version, that particular song. But Ben Webster played quite a few songs with Oscar Peterson, just that we're not playing any of it.
He got emotional on that one.
Yeah, he seemed to have got into that, man. How'd you like him, Larry? Yeah, Ben Webster.
Oh, he was very good. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
One mellow, nice, take you like lay back.
Yeah. The next artist we're going to play from that period is Lester Young. Lester Young, born in 1909, passed away in 1959. He was known as the Prez. Not only did he play tenor sax, he occasionally played clarinet. Played for a while with Count Basie Orchestra. And he influenced a lot of jazz musicians, including John Coltrane, Jerry Mulligan, Paul Desmond. They all talk about the influence that Lester Young had. Here's a piece by Lester Young and the piano player Teddy Wilson, and it's called Prisoner of Love. Thank you. That's Lester Young and Teddy Wilson. Lester Young on sax, Teddy Wilson on piano, on a priest. That was done Prisoner of Love, Larry.
Yeah, man. All right. They really hooked that up, man. They really hooked that up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we don't get a chance to listen to Lester Young that much, man, but when we do, we appreciate him and appreciate the influence that he had in jazz.
Yeah.
Here's another piece by Lester Young, and this has Oscar Peterson. I finally got it right, folks. This had Oscar Peterson on piano, and this is called There Will Never Be Another You. That's Lester Young with the Oscar Peterson Trio on There Will Never Be Another You. Oh, man, Lester Young. You know, I went to college, when I first went to college in 1965, I went to school with his son.
Mm.
But I, you know, and someone told me that his father was a famous musician, and I had no idea who Lester Young was, but I went to school with Lester Young Jr.
Wow. Did he play sax as well?
No. He ended up being an educator and superintendent here in New York City.
I think
was on the Board of Regents or something.
Mm.
But he made his mark in education.
Okay.
And probably still doing it. Lester Young. How'd you like that piece, Larry?
That was really good. Really good. I love our show today. It's really, you know, it's stuff that goes back to the 50s and the 40s. It's got a different type of tone to the instrument.
Absolutely, man.
And it's very relaxing and soothing.
It's pre-bebop.
Yeah.
Now, Lester Young also made his mark because he was one of the sax players that always played with this lady, Billie Holiday. Yeah. And on most of his pieces, Billie's pieces, he has he's playing. So here's an example of Lester Young. It's actually Billie Holiday and Lester Young on The Man I Love.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand. Then in a little while, he'll take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. Maybe I shall meet him someday. Maybe Monday, maybe not. Still I'm sure to meet him one day. Maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home that's meant for two, from which I'll never roam. What would you? And so all else above, I'm dreaming of the man I love.
Billie Holiday with Lester Young, The Man I Love. We're going to play another Billie Holiday with Lester Young, Fine and Mellow. So let's play this.
My man don't love me, treats me all so mean. My man, he don't love me, treats me awful mean. He's the lowest man that I've ever seen. Thank you.
he wears high draped pants. Stripes are really yellow. He wears high draped pants. Stripes are really yellow. But when he starts in to love me, he is so fine and mellow. Drink and gamble, make you stay out all night long. Love will make you drink and gamble, make you stay out all night long. Love will make you do things that you know is wrong.
Holiday, fine and mellow. How'd you like that piece, Larry?
Yeah, that was beautiful, man. That was, well, oh, man, that was just so cool. Billy's just so, the words that come out of her mouth, man, are just right there.
Yeah, man, you know, we took a nice little trip down the memory lane of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, playing some stuff by Ben Webster, Lester Young, and Billie Holiday. You know, at least Ben Webster and Lester Young, you really don't hear them much anymore. But these were giants. All three were giants during their time.
Yeah. I like that that style too. The
yeah. Way, oh yeah.
It's just so mellow. It's just like boom, boom. Yeah. You know, I mean, I love jazz, but there's certain things that are just particular to a particular period in time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And this music today was so reflective of that. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. Jazz is always, you know, moving with the times and expressed in different ways based on the times.
Yes.
And it just shows you the diversity of jazz, man.
Yeah.
Well, folks, man, I hope you enjoyed listening to this. Larry, definitely enjoyed you being here, good brother.
I enjoyed being here, man. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, folks, you know, it's that time. And we're going to go out on a piece by, we usually play Moody's Move for Love, done by King Pleasure. But now we're going to play Moody's Move for Love, done by James Moody, the man who wrote it. So as always, folks, until the next time, peace and love.
Very often, it'll die, it'll die, it'll die. Funny thing, but every time you near me, I never can behave. You give me a smile and then I'm wrapped up in your magic. There's music all around me, crazy music, music that keep telling me so. Very close to you turns me your slave. Come and do me anything you want to. Anything, baby, just let me next to you. Toodaloo, beep, beep, woo. Am I insane or do I really see heaven in your eyes? Why as stars that shine up above us in the clear blue skies? How I worry about you, just can't live my life without you, baby. Come here, don't have no fear. Oh, is there wonder why I'm really feeling in the nude for love? So tell me why. Stop to think about this weather, my dear. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This little dream might fade away. There I go, talking out of my head again. Oh, baby, won't you come and put our two hearts together? Ooh, that would make me strong and brave. Oh, when we are one, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. If there's a cloud up above us, go on and let it rain. I'm sure together we can both endure a hurricane. Ooh. Come all day to love and tell me deep, deep, boo, doo, 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 boo, dee, dee, boo, boo, dee, babe, Patty.
What is all this talk about loving me, my sweet? I am not afraid, not anymore, not like before. Don't you understand me? Now, Moody, please pull yourself together, got to do it very soon. My heart's on fire. Come on and take me. I'll be what you make me, my darling, my sweetie.
Oh, Patty, you make me feel so good. Let me take you by the hand. Come, let us set it out there in that new good place to use that loving state of mind. Oh, do 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 do. Quincy Jones, you come in and blow now if you want to, we're through.
Mr. James Moody!